All right, now let's get into growing our families. Hey, I love this series so far. It's been a great time. I love my father-in-law and what he brought last week, my wife the week before. You know, this is something that's really, it's an attack. The church gets attacked by the enemy, but our families also get attacked by the enemy. The enemy doesn't want to see our families thrive, and we have to be very aware of this, and we need to do what's right. So, you know, for some of us, we may have a different idea of what family looks like. Maybe you got raised in a different household. Well, that's what I loved about what my father-in-law said last week, was that he and his wife, they had chosen to not follow in the steps of their own parents. Not that their parents were awful, but they just knew that they wanted to raise their children in a godly household and do it God's way. And so I think that that's something for you. And I was talking to Rich and Sarah Parker this morning, and they said, you know, that was a takeaway for them, was to realize, hey, you know what? We can change things. We can do stuff. And that's really awesome. That's a great takeaway. And I think for some of you, if you didn't get to hear last week's message, make it happen. You can go to our YouTube page. You can go to our podcast page. However you can get down to the message, make it happen. But listen to last week's message, because it's really good, a good takeaway from that. So with this message, my angle today is really about preparation. I want us to realize that and ask the question. Let me start off by realization with asking a question. Are you preparing the path, or are you preparing the kid? Now, if you don't have children, let's ask it this way. Am I preparing the path, or are you preparing yourself for the path? I think sometimes we have this notion that we can prepare the path. We have all these plans, all these ideas, these future goals, and then when something comes awry that you were unaware of, then sometimes it falls apart. And it falls apart not because of what it is, the vision or the plan that you may have, but actually you yourself of not knowing how to handle the storm, how to handle those troubles. And we've got to be really careful. I've seen a lot of, we call the term helicopter moms. But there's helicopter daddies out there, for sure. But we got to be careful that we're not just in a state of preparing our path for our children. It's like you go before, like as a bushwhacker, and just start making, you know, this notion of like, I'll cut anybody's head off if you get near my child. And it's like, well, hold on. Let's prepare your child how to handle and deal with things and not just be such a path preparer. We should be a kid preparer. So let's make this happen. And first verse that we can find this in is in John chapter 16, verse 33. It's one of my favorites. And it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus is giving us the perfect example. We need to be just like him. We got to show our kids, our family, our spouse, our friends, our coworkers, that you've overcome the world in him. That it's through him you've overcome the world. So no matter what it is, the path doesn't affect you. You know how to handle it. You know the plans that God has for you. You know the purposes that God has for you. So those things don't change. Those things don't change, and you can stay focused on what God has for you, even though something may come at you. Guess what? Doesn't matter. God's going to take care of it. I'm going to give it over to him. I'm casting my cares to him. I'm going to him for those for the tools that I need to succeed. God's going to give you what you need. And so we're not going to allow fear and doubt. We're not going to allow these allergy emotions from a, you know, an instance that takes place. All of a sudden you have a natural reaction of allergies of like, oh my gosh, here it is again. And then you kind of, you fall back into this rut, into this pain and sorrow and fear. And you're like, nah, I'm not doing this. And we need to overcome that by going to God and finding the antidote of how God has us to live out, how God has us to conquer the storms and to go through life and be successful in all that we do. So for me, you know, I want my children, I want to transition them from consuming to contributing, right? I think our children, they're great trash cans. Boy, they love to consume. My boys, I've got two of them now that have reached the age of bottomless pit. And they just keep consuming. And I'm looking at them going, I hear the microwave start, and I turn around in my living room. I turn around, and I look at the microwave, and I go, what are you making? It's 4:30, and we're about to have dinner in 1 hour.
Now, I'm hungry, Dad. I need popcorn.
I'm like, but don't you smell the food that your mom's cooking? Like, do you smell that? That's what made you hungry. It's called Pavlov. Like, there's this scientific fact that's the reason why you got hungry. Don't worry, Dad. I'll eat every bit of my dinner, too. And you're like, oh, my goodness, son. And they do. They do. So I can't call them out on it, but we've got to train our kids to engage their faith. We need to train our children to serve others. We got to train them to serve in the church. We want all of our children to grow spiritually. Here's the deal. It's important that we've got to train them to step out and say, I can and I will. That's important. So that's where I want to go with this today. So I'm building a team this morning. So I started thinking, during worship, I was looking around. I thought, who's somebody I want to have a team with? So I started looking in the room, and I thought, I need the strongest. I need the biggest. I need the strongest and the biggest person. So I thought, who could fit in this jersey? Antoinette. That's what I thought. Antoinette, come up here real quick. Antoinette. Antoinette, I promise I'll do everything in my ability not to hurt your beautiful hair. You're going to put it on. Okay, turn around. There we go. Okay, there's your head, and your arms go somewhere there. There we go. Okay, just stay right there, Antoinette. And then I thought, man, you got it. You are David Robinson all over. Okay, I thought, who is this? And I thought, I need someone with some spunk. Right? So I thought, Echo, get up here. Echo, I need some spunk. Okay. Okay, we need some spunk. Let's go, team. Oh, man, she's already cheering. Here, turn around that way. Here we go. Boom. All right, now I'm thinking, I need someone that's got a little Magic Johnson in them, right? And I thought, Mandy. She's got a little spunk and charisma. Okay, all right. Now, I know some of you in this room, you thought, oh my gosh, here he's pulling out basketball jerseys. He's going to start asking for a bunch of men. That's what you thought. I thought either Pastor Josh is racist, or he's not racist, sorry. He's sexist. He's sexist, isn't he? No. I just think you ladies fit the bill. That's what it is. All right. That's your age. Internet could be your age. All right. Terrence, get up here. This is Terrence. I'm giving him number one. He's my number one gun. All right. Here we go. Look. Might be a little tight. I gave him the smallest one on purpose. Yes. Yeah. Put it on. You can get it. Okay. All right. Now, guys, I want to join the team, so I want to be a part of this too, okay? So here we go. Number 10 was my jersey back in high school. Yeah. I'm with you. I gave you the tightest one. All right, here we go. Oh, don't you feel special? We look like we're a team, right? All right, go. What are you waiting for? Let's go. Right? Oh. Let's go. Come on. I know what we're missing. If I just yell at you, right? Go! Right? Go! Right? That's the kind of coaches I had growing up. They just yelled at you. I remember that. Go! Go! Go, come on, let's go. All right, what do you guys want to do? Right, oh, I know, you're missing one more thing, okay. You guys need a ball. All right, here, Antoinette. Yeah. I know, right? I'm as confused as you. Let's make it more awkward. Let's just stand here and look at each other. Now, I'm just as confused as you guys because I don't know where they're going. It's a spiritual lap. Here we go. My name's Josh. I better not contribute to walking around things. All right? Things fall down. All right. Well done. Good work, team. Good work. All right. Now what? Right? Hey, you guys looked good doing it. Now what's the question, right? Right? I know this is so awkward. Man, we look good though, right? We look good. Oh yeah, we look good. These are great. These are even reversible. You can reverse them, right? We are rich here at Trailhead Church. We bought these like 13 years ago. We had a basketball team. Then I got in trouble every game. I started yelling at people and hitting them. So they told me I couldn't play anymore. Any cool stories from you guys? You guys want to do then? So this is awkward, right? Because you guys are missing some key ingredients, right? I think everybody's on the same page. You're sitting here going, I'm glad I'm not up there with the jersey. Right? We can just sit here all day. But something's missing. All right? Could you imagine doing this with your family at home? It's like we all have the same name. We're all on the same team. But could you imagine just sitting and looking at your family like this and just yelling at your kids, yelling at your wife or your husband saying, go, do better, right? Like, no. Like, having this idea of just sitting around on the couch and being like, but we look good. You look good. You're so cute. You're so handsome. Like mom goggles on. All you can just think is just your kid's handsome, right? That's not going to work. Beauty is fleeting. You won't be handsome for much longer, Terrence. Think about this, right? This is how people raise their families. This idea of let's just sit here. We got the same name. You should just know better. Well, that's scary. My children have half of me and half of their mom. They don't know better. But could you imagine this? And your family is just as unique as this. Like, just as unique. My kids are not the same humans. I cannot go to Antoinette and tell her the same thing I need to tell Echo. Not in a million years. Echo's not going to receive it the same way. Terrence's skill set is completely different than Mandy's. What he could do is nothing incomparable to what she can do. And you as a parent have to recognize this. You got to nurture it and grow it. And you got to be able to see it and go, what can I use this team for? How can I talk to them individually? I mean, I've had some coaches in my life. Oh, man, have I had some coaches. And boy, I tell you what, they just talk to all of us the same. But then I had a coach who knew how to talk to each one of us. And he would spend time and say, hey, come here. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you. I see your skill. Here's what I need you to develop. Here's what needs to happen. They want to grow you, right? So for us as a family, we need to know what we're doing, okay? All right, so listen. Here's the phrase I want us all to remember today, okay? A vision written down is a goal. A goal broken down is a plan. And a plan with action is achievable. It's reality. Many of us just say, we're Greshams. Well, you're not. That's my family, right? We're the Rye Millers, right? So then you're sitting here, it's like, all right, great. But then there's this, give me a vision. What are we as a family that's expected of us? What's there a family that, what is it that we need to have goals towards? What's the vision? This vision, this goal, these plans, give me something. Don't let me just fail with expectations that are set for me, which I have no idea how to achieve. Show me what I need to do. Give me the right equipment, the right tools. Present an environment where they can breed with success, that they can actually have the capabilities to say, oh, I can do this. You're giving me what I need. But to sit here with this idea of kind of like, I don't know, what do you guys want to do? No, that won't work. As Antoinette points out, you lead us. It's funny how we don't want to lead. We don't want to lead. Because why? Because, well, you're scared of failure. I don't want to be blamed. Not me. You get scared and you go, I don't want this. I don't want that responsibility on me. Hey, that is a horrible excuse. Everyone in this room, you have the capability of growing and leading. Every one of you in this room. You can say past hurts, you can use the excuses, but you have the ability to lead, every one of you. And you need to take on that mantle and hold on to it and lead. Lead with success. You can do it. Don't be fearful of failing. That's a mentality of not knowing grace and mercy. That's a mentality of not knowing that God's the one. If you're going to him, he's going to tell you how to lead. God's the one who's going to be the one who instructs you. And yeah, you can mess up. There's times I've messed up. I had to apologize to one of my kids yesterday. I apologized to him. I said, listen, I'm sorry. It was my fault, not your fault. Will you forgive me? And he looked at me and he said, maybe. Guys, it's time for us to rise up, to be the leaders we're called to be, and I want to give you that success. Guys, give it up to my team right here. You guys can have a seat. All right. Here's the deal. There's three things I want us to work on. Three things. Some of these are common, but this is important. Number one is vision. As I read to you guys, or as I quoted to you guys, a vision written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan, and a plan backed by action becomes reality. You guys, we have to begin with some vision in our families. We've got to sit down and think, what do we want our children to be? What do we want our relationship to be? What's our team look like? The dynamics of where we are, what we're doing. We need to know this. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Habakkuk 2:2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Guys, do you have a plan? Let me ask a bigger question. Does God have a plan? Yes. I think everyone should be able to say that. God does have a plan. There's a book called Visioneering by Andy Stanley, and this is a quote from that. It says, once God decides something needs to be done, it is never a matter of if. The issue is usually who. Who will step forward, embrace the vision, and move ahead by faith? Who? I don't know about you guys, but I want to be that person. I want my children to be that person. I want my spouse to be that person. That when God says, hey, I need someone. God already has the vision. He knows it. But I need someone. He's looking for the willing and the obedient. Some of us, we get so caught up in the magnitude of large vision. We think, oh, I got to have a big vision. Hey, listen, big visions are great. I love big vision. Some of us neglect some of the small basic visions. So my wife and I, you know, one of the things for us is that we have small visions for our children. You know, we actually are trying to nurture them so they can hear God's big vision and know that they can accomplish it. We're preparing the child. Some of the small things that we have for our children is we want them to be God-fearing. We want them to know the importance of knowing him and to be fearful that you're not doing what he's asked you to do. So for us, it's God-fearing. We want our children to be God-fearing. Second thing we want our children to be is influencers for God's kingdom. Our prayer every night, when I pray with my children or over my children, I pray for them to be influencers for the kingdom of God. That everywhere they go, that they are influencing, that they are showing them the way to live. God's way, that they aren't taking on what the world says, but they know who they are in Christ Jesus, and they are an influencer in God's kingdom. Third thing that we pray often over our children is that they are wise beyond human wisdom. How does this happen? Well, we know this by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit himself is the reason why our children have wisdom. That when they're in unique places, in places that are a little hard, they have a way out. And the way they know this is by the Holy Spirit. There is wisdom. We want people to look at them and go, how'd you know that? What made you so smart? It's the Holy Spirit. Wisdom. We want them to have wisdom. We want them to be bold in their faith. We want them to have that faith moment of like, hey, no, it can be done. Not a problem. God can do this. We're going to stand in faith. Bold in their faith. These are small vision steps. These aren't large. These are small. Some of you need to write these things down and put them and apply them into your own family. Next thing is a smart and educated. Smart and educated. My children, when they come home and they say, I hate school, what do I always say to them? No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a lie. You love school. And I won't let them stand and continue to say, I hate school. I will not do it. I will not budge on this. You love school. You love class. You love learning. And I'm going to brag on my oldest son here in a second. He got asked to take the SAT when he was in the seventh grade. And so when mom picked him up after taking the SAT, she goes, how was it? He goes, it was fun. Who says that about an SAT? Nobody. I failed the ACT a ton of times. I hated it. I came home going, this is stupid. That's the reason why I changed it. I thought, no, I'm not doing this with my children. I love the ACT and the SAT. I'm encouraging this environment of wanting to educate, wanting to grow. The next thing and the last thing is we want our children to be healthy. These are visions. We want them to be healthy. We look at them and say, no more electronics. Outside. You're going to go on a walk with mom and dad right now. You're going to go on a run. Go on a run. You should see. And, you know, there are ways to do this. Some of your children are like, I ain't running. Well, if you've got siblings, if they got brothers, it's easy to create competition. I bet you, you can't beat your brother around the block. I will time you. There's nothing better. Some of you guys, you need to get out. Some of you in your own life need to put this into your vision. Healthy, whole. You guys need to be healthy. We need to be wanting to have healthy lives. Why? This is God's body. This is his temple, right? He's given this to us. You know, this is important. It's so important. Why? Well, comes the next thing. So outside of vision, we need to have alignment. And it goes bigger than just having a jersey on. As we know, alignment not just having a jersey, having the same last name. We need to have alignment. So, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God's word says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. He created us in his image. Why? Because there's alignment in this. When Jesus says, hey, take heart. I've overcome this world. Jesus is saying, guess what? Take heart. I've overcome this world, and so can you. You can do this. Know that you've got everything you need to accomplish what you need to do. We are in God's image. There is an alignment to this. Now, there's enemies to alignment. The enemies to alignment that want to hurt vision. So use some of the vision statements that my wife and I have for our children. And in our own lives. But some of these enemies is compromise. Compromise things. Not today. I'll let future self worry about that tomorrow. You're not willing to address the concern fast enough. So you compromise because of the situation, because it's just not fun. Because I hate to tell you this, but the truth reality pill that everyone needs to swallow right now is that there are hard days. There are hard things. I'm not going to preach some message where it's like, when you accept Jesus, it's going to be amazing. It is going to be amazing because you're going to get to see his kingdom in your life. You're going to get to see his way of living in your life, but there's still troubles. But it's how you handle these troubles that matters, how you do it. Elijah was a man just like us, James, right? We know this in James. He was a man just like us. What made him different? He was obedient. He listened to what God's word said about the circumstance. He listened to God before he did something. God, what do you want me to do? He had faith that God would do what he said he'll do. The enemy's two alignment not only is compromise, but compromise leads to disobedience. Compromise, when you're sitting there and you compromise something, you justify it. You sit here and before you know it, you don't even realize, but you become disobedient. You've justified it to the degree you don't even see the disobedience because you've just said, well, this is just how it is. And then disobedience leads to rebellion. And that is straight sin. When you are not willing to do what God's asked you to do. Let me bring you back to this quote that I read earlier from Andy Stanley in the book Visioneering. Once God decides something needs to be done, it is never a matter of if. It's never a matter of if. The issue is usually who. Who will step forward, embrace the vision, and move ahead by faith? Who? When you're in disobedience, it's not you. When you're in rebellion, it's not you. And you miss out on something really amazing. Every day is a training day. Every day is a day to prepare myself, prepare yourself for the things of God. Every single day, you get to wake up and go, all right, today's the day. Here I am. God, what is it? What do you have for me? God, what can I do? Every day, every little moment, every step that you take is a moment of opportunity to lean in on God and say, God, what do you have for me? God, how can I show you? Lord, God, how can I be in the kingdom today? Lord, what is it that I need to have a kingdom mind about? God, how can I see through all this worldly things? How do I get to hear and put your word before the world's word? God, show me these things. God, show me, reveal to me your revelation. Reveal to me your mind, your heart about the situation. God, who should I call today? Who should I love on today? Who should I show grace and mercy to? God, show me. God, I want to be here. God, I want to be here right in your presence. Wherever you are, God, I want to be. Where are you at today, God? What are you doing? What are you focused on? What are you, God, what do you want to see changed? God, what plans are there? God, come on. I mean, I hate to use this word, but annoy God. Like, just go up, knock on God's door. Just knock all the time. God, what is it? God, what is it? God, what is it? God, what is it? Man, when you are in that type of mentality, that mindset, that posture, that position, get ready. Get ready. We were with our young adults group here this past week, and I was listening to all the kids. I was kind of quiet, and I was just listening to everybody talk and all the different things they were saying, and my wife was talking about, you know, knowing that God's got something for you and that you're just going to hold out until that happens, and God's gonna birth it inside of you. And so I started thinking about Elijah and Elisha and how God had told Elijah to go and find Elisha and to anoint him and to bring him along. And so I started thinking about that story. I don't believe one second that Elisha was just hanging out in the field and that he was some retrobate type of family member, that he was just some individual, that a nobody of some sort. That I don't believe he was lazy. I don't believe that he had a poor attitude. I don't believe any of those things. I believe that Elisha was ready, that inside of him, he had been just seeking the Lord, that he was, because the Lord knew who he was, right? And so Elijah, I just believe that he was out in that field and something inside of him, I guarantee you he had many a talks with his father leading up to that moment, his earthly father. And I believe that he was having these conversations with friends. Man, I'm telling you, something's about to happen. Man, God's about, something's going to move in my life. I guarantee you. Because I have my own self and my own experience. And when I talk to other individuals, people, man, something's different. Something's changing. Everybody's like, oh, isn't it great when you read Elijah when he burned his all his farming equipment and he just turned and just walked. No, I believe that's definitely the story that everyone wants to tell, and it's a great story to be like, oh yeah, Elijah, how cool was that? He's just like, I'm gonna burn it all for God and it's gonna be awesome. No, I don't believe that was the case at all. He turned into a real farmer right there. I believe that Elisha looked at it and goes, heck no, I ain't doing that no more. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm burning that. I don't want to see that thing ever again. Because something inside of him was saying, man, I know something's different. There's something different that's about to change. That this isn't what I was meant to do. This isn't it. God's been preparing him all along. For some of you in this room, Elijah, obviously we know the end of the story with Elijah. He wasn't about to live in compromise. He didn't live in disobedience or in rebellion. He made the knowing of knowledge to God himself that he was ready, willing, and obedient. He was prepared to go. God's calling you out, some of you. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Get a vision in place. Get yourself aligned with God's word to know what he has for you. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Renew your minds daily. Guys, listen, daily. You can't keep your hair in place daily. What makes you think you can with your mind? Every morning you need to wake up and renew your mind. Every evening you need to renew your mind. My wife and I, we don't watch bad things, but there was something we watched that was a little bit on the compromise level. Nothing bad. Don't even be there. I'm like G-rated. But I remember I walked out on the step outside by myself, and I thought, I kind of shook my head like, God, take that out of my head. I don't want that in my head. Whatever I just watched, I don't know. It was weird. And I was like, man, I don't want those types. I don't want what that guy wrote down and performed to be in my head. So I was like, God, get it out of my head. And I rebuked it, and then I asked God for forgiveness with it, and then I just moved on. And now I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going back. There was episodes. Now I'm in the algorithm, right? I'm in the algorithm of Hulu and Netflix, where they're going to keep telling me I need to keep watching it. If you like this, you're going to like this. And you're like, no, I'm not. You got to renew your mind. Romans chapter 10, 14 through 21. Dig in, people. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the time of Moses, God said, I will arouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they are disobedient and rebellious. Guys, everyone knows the famous saying that history repeats itself. Guys, everywhere, this is the best-selling book of all time. You know exactly where to find a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, and I said, hey, go find a Bible, all you got to do is probably look two chairs down from you. Someone's got one. You can go into our prayer room. We got free Bibles in there. We'll give you a free Bible. There is no way that you could actually give me the excuse that you have no idea where you could find a Bible. The Bible is God's word. And when you read God's word, you're going to build your faith. In those moments when God says, hey, I've got some vision moments for you. I got a vision thing for you to do. You don't have the excuse of, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to go to him. And in going to him, God lays out a plan. He's going to make you victorious. He's going to give you what you need. You just can't allow what the world has done, what the world has put on you. He's telling you what you're supposed to do with that. You should drop it off, lay it down at his feet, cast your cares. Drop those things. Talk to him. Let him build you up. Let him give you the confidence that you need. And then you're going to start doing a one step forward and another step. God will start showing you. You're going to see God's plan. You're going to see God in action where you go, man, this is amazing. God's just showing up. There's no way this would have happened unless God was a part of it. You just have to step out in faith. Many of you in this room and your families, you've been given a responsibility. You don't just abandon your child. A lot of people, you just wish your children's lives away. Oh, I can't wait till they're 18. Oh, I can't wait till they're 21. Oh, I can't wait till they're out of the house. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. Wow. You remember you prayed for them? You prayed for them to be born? Do you remember that? You've been given a responsibility. Some of you are like, man, I can't stand my spouse. You remember you prayed for them? You say, man, my spouse, they're lazy. Man, my spouse is this. No, they're not. Love on them. Encourage them. Nurture them. Put a vision out in front. This is our vision. Now let's get into alignment. All right? All of this happens when you pray, you read the word, and you worship. When you don't apply those three steps, praying, reading the word, and worship, sin's going to work its way into the cracks of our lives, and the enemy is going to manifest into every aspect. And we've got to be aware of this. I read Cain and Abel last night before I went to bed. It was a story that kind of sunk on me, and I started thinking, you know how people have this notion of like, God's a puppeteer of some sort. And it's really this odd theology. This odd theology to think that, you know, God kind of creates bad people or God creates bad things. And then you read about Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 and you think, that's not true at all. Here in the very first book of the Bible, the Lord's asking Cain, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse, he didn't say, but if I cause you to refuse. He says, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Interesting. You must renew your mind daily. For us, we've got to teach our children this. We had a hard topic yesterday. We were watching a game show. We were killing some time between something. We turned on this game show, and I forget what the game show is called. To Tell the Truth. And three individuals came out and they said, I am a Catholic priest and I do exorcisms. And so I said, oh gosh, this is gonna be good. And so my boys are sitting there on the couch and immediately one of them goes, what's an exorcism? And I said, I kind of gave them a brief example for a second. And so then all the questions started coming. I go, stop, let's wait for this to be done. And then we'll open up and we'll start talking. Most people, and I'm not condemning you, and I'm not making as if I'm the perfect person. There's been many a conversations that I look at Anna and I go, I don't want to talk about that right now. Like, not ready, don't want to do it. Anna's like telling our children about what childbirthing is at age 5. And I'm like, don't need to. So obviously, once these guys were finished, I turned it off and I said, boys, this is what demon possession is. Anna pulls out the scriptures. We read scripture to them. And I said, now ask questions. They asked questions. And I said, all right. And I answered. And we answered. And we took probably about 15 minutes to talk about demon possession on a Saturday. Right? Now that's weird. But guess what? It's not. Because my children now know that the demons out there are real and that we have no fear and we know exactly what to do. You're more concerned about teaching your kid how to punch a bully in the face than you are punching the enemy who's causing the bully who wants to punch your kid in the face. Like, learn about spiritual warfare and teach your children about spiritual warfare, all right? Okay, last thing, coaching. Coaching. This is the third thing. So vision, alignment, and coaching. So I want all of us in this room to operate in those three things. Present vision, align your family together with what we're going to do, how we're going to achieve it, setting plans, having goals in place. This is what we're going to do. When we hear certain things, we're going to fix those things. All right? And then we're going to disciple them. We're going to discipline them. We're going to show them what they need to do. And then in coaching, I'm going to coach them through these processes of life so that they know what they need to do. I'm not going to yell at them. Now, there are moments I still yell, obviously. I raise my voice. We don't say yelling. We raise our voices. We do things to encourage, not discourage. In coaching, I'm here for them. I want them to be the best they possibly can be. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, one of the most important verses in all of the Bible and one of the hardest, heaviest verses in all the Bible. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Wow. Lay that on you. That is mothers and fathers, as friends, as husbands and wives, as neighbors, as people who drive onto the parking lot. Follow my example as I follow others. No, as I follow the example of Christ. He's at the forefront. I want to coach my family in living by faith. By how? Somebody said, but how? How do you do that? I live it out in front of them. I put my life in faith in front of them. In moments where they see me, whether I'm sad or happy or I'm angry, I will then show them, hey, but here's what God's going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Him. I'm going to pray about it. And we're going to see this together as a family, how God's going to take care of it. I want to live out my faith in front of them. I do want to dream big. I want to seek God in all that I'm doing. I want to show grace. I want to show mercy. I want to be obedient. I want to be fully surrendered. I want my children to see real love. What's the ultimate goal here? I want to prepare them. I want to prepare my family. I want them to be what they need to be, what God has them already planned out before them, way ahead in advance. I want them to be so ready for it. I want to show them all the good things that God has. I want to be there in a way to always point to the Father. Hey, this is God. It's through Him. It's His purpose. Look at what He's got for you. This behavior that you're going through right now, oh man, it's not worth it. Stop. Listen. And I'll set them down and I'll talk and say, this is what consequences look like. And this is what it's like choosing God's way. And when you choose God's way, then this takes care of things. You'll never experience this if you do what God calls you to do. And I can use that phrase with confidence. You will never experience this if you do this. My encouragement for everyone in this room, man, is to take on the responsibility that God's given you. What's in your hand right now? What do you got before you? Moses had a staff, right? Dorcas had a needle. Some of you are like, who in the world's Dorcas? Read your Bible. Guys, what's in your hand right now? Use it for the kingdom of God and do it in front of your family. Show them what vision looks like. Show them what alignment of being in God's word looks like. Show them how to coach others, how to be coached. Show them. Walk in obedience with God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul prays this prayer. This is one of those Ephesian prayers. You may have heard that before. This is something you should be praying over your family daily. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Start there. Start this week to pray with your children. Start there. Say, hey, let's open the Word. Let's pray. Start there to open up your Word with your spouse. Guys, spouses are fun. I mean, to think my wife and I's stories are so funny and unique, and how we crossed paths when we were younger. She was in the 6th grade. I was in the 9th grade. We didn't start dating then. That would have been weird. And then later on in life, I'm sitting in a house down at Marshall University, and my friend who was dating her brought her into the house, and I remember seeing her walk through the door, and I just looked at her and I go, I know who you are. And she's like, wow, who are you? I said, you're that pastor's kid at that church. And so she's like, well, you know, kind of like all defensive of like, what do you think, you know me, you know? And our backgrounds are very different and unique and same, you know, in some things. And she has expectations for me, and I'm not the greatest spouse. There's a lot of mishaps. I was a horrible husband yesterday to her. She cooked. She made 2 pies for me. She doesn't make pies. I make pies. But she wanted to do it for me. She made me a peach pie and a cherry pie. And so she was exhausted, and she's laying in bed last night. And so I'm laying in bed, and then I hear that stupid cat that we have, and it's going, meow! And she's texting our son to put it to bed. Put a cat to bed, you put it to rest. Anyway. And so, just being real. And so, I do not. So I get up, right? And I go downstairs, and I had thought while I was in the shower that she was cleaning the kitchen, because, you know, on top of cooking and everything else, she should just do those things. And I go downstairs, and I'm like, what in the world? She just went to bed, and the pies are laying out. They're not even covered up. I have to feed this crazy cat. And then I see on the couch over there, my daughter fell asleep on the couch. I'm like, that's a bad parenting moment. Your kid just falls asleep on couches and objects around the house, and you just leave him there. No, you don't do that. And then I see this dog, and I look at the dog, and it needs to be laid to rest too. And so I'm thinking, I got to take that dumb dog out now. And so then I started putting all my self things, you know, of like, I've got to preach tomorrow. Don't you know that I'm the man of God and I wear a cloth of responsibility, that I need to be refreshed and ready to read the Word of God? You know, the stupidity things, you know, and you're like, what in the world? And then you get upstairs and you think, do I give her the silent treatment? Do I scorn her for not putting the pie up and the cat and the dogs? So I get up there and I try to be as gentle as I can with it. You forgot. She's like, what? And I was like, everything. Right. I wasn't even subtle. I just dropped the big word. Everything. She goes, what do you mean? She goes, oh, yeah, I didn't put the pies up. And then I laid it on thick. And the cat and the daughter and the dog and all these things, right? You just start laying it on. It's such a human worldly response, a victim mentality. Oh, woe is me. Feel sorry for me. You love living in that identity because it brings attention to yourself. Don't you realize that I'm wounded? She actually was the better of the two of us last night. She goes, I'm sorry. And then she just laid her head back down on the pillow. She goes, I didn't do it on purpose. She goes, but I'm sorry. She goes, I will work at remembering these things. Whoa. It was like hot coals on my burning head. There's a scripture about that. So about 5 minutes of laying there in the pitch black dark, I go, I'm sorry. We're not perfect. None of us spouses are perfect. None of us fathers or mothers are perfect. And as I preach a message like this today, you would think, oh, Pastor Josh and Pastor Anna, they just got it all together. And I stink as a parent. I don't have a vision for my family. Hey, guys, listen. It's baby steps. One day at a time. One moment at a time. Build it. Develop it. Grow it. Walk in the grace. Walk in the mercy. To do it. It's going to be good. My wife and I, we had to change some things in our own lives. We're one of the things I love now, and I try to tell everybody I meet, okay, go outside. Go on a walk. It's like my... I know this. It's like such a non-godly thing. It's godly in a sense, but it's not like in the scriptures. It's like, therefore thou shalt walk. It's like, that's not in there. But I tell everybody that some of the best conversations I've had with my wife, some of the best growing moments I've had with my wife have just been walking this past year. And so it's been those good times. And in those moments yesterday, we walked in the morning, and then that afternoon I looked at her and go, want to walk again? She's like, yeah, let's walk again. So we walked again late last night, and it was fun. And then we looked down at our watches. We were like, 19,000 steps. What in the world? We're so stupid. We're like limping home. We're like, oh, my God. I'm so old. Man, we're talking about our body parts, I swear. The last 200 yards of what was hurting us. They're like, well, it's because you're walking too much. Why do I tell you these things? Because, man, get out. Spend time with one another. Talk, be with each other, dream together, talk, pray together, talk vision together, talk these things out, lay it all out, say, hey, let's set a Let's set some goals. Let's put a date to it. Let's have a plan. Let's create action steps to it. Let's achieve it. Let's do it. Start small. But start. Do these things. Talking to God, being with Him, asking for forgiveness, walking in love and mercy. Do it. It's so important. All right. If you don't know who Jesus is, make it known today. We have a prayer room, my left. It's back here in this back corner. We have amazing people back there that love to pray with you. They want to intercede with you. If you need a breakthrough, if you need anything at all in your life, that room. I've taken much longer today than I expected. I swear, I'll look at my message notes and I'll tell everybody on the staff, I'll go, oh, this will be a quick message today. And then I look at the clock and I go, no, it's not. And I apologize if some of you actually care. Clearly, I don't care, but we meet once a week. I don't know about you guys, but I was the kid who went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So maybe this is a premature announcement, but we will start Wednesday night services in July and August, just those 2 months. And we do not have kid childcare, and we're going to do it in a really weird way, in a really weird way. So to help with childcare, we're going to have men Wednesday nights and women Wednesday nights, okay? So just bear with us. And even my wife's in here going, what? What are you? Yeah, you're preaching a lot coming up. So anyway, this is where we walk together, but some things I just don't talk out exactly. So now she's going to talk to me about it all day today on our walk. So might have been a dumb mistake, but whatever. But I just want to take every bit of time I have with you to shepherd you best we possibly can and give you the tools you need to succeed. So, guys, one last thing before we close. My Anna said this yesterday, and it was really good. She said, sometimes people in our church, they tend to think that we're the judge and the executioner, that for some reason as pastors, you've created some type of a stigma of belief that you're accountable to us. You are not. You're accountable to Him. And for us, we just want to make sure that you're ready, that you have what you need. Come to us. We want to pray with you. We're not going to judge you, okay? We're not going to put some type of weird 400-step plan into your life where now you'll look all buttoned up and ready to go. That's not going to happen. We just want to actually come in agreement with you, lock arms with you, and pray with you. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit divinely connects to the situation and tells us something, a nugget of golden truth, a scripture, something that you can have a breakthrough with. But my wife and I and the rest of the pastors on staff, we want to come in agreement with you. And so if you need anything at all, let us know. You can contact the church. We want to meet with you. We want to come in agreement with you. Make that happen, okay? Because there's no reason why anyone needs to be missing something or going without something. Make it happen, okay? Make it happen. This is why we're here, okay? All right. I don't think I'm dismissing. I think someone else is. Dave's dismissing. All right. Hey, I love you all. If you need anything at all and you don't know who Jesus is, that room right there, make it happen.